Thank you so very much for being in our worship assembly this evening. We're studying the subject. We have characteristics of the mature. We began looking at this subject last Sunday evening. We'll continue to look a little bit further in our lesson tonight, thinking about what it is to be spiritually mature as Christians making up the body of Christ. We made the point that we are people who have to cooperate with our own growth. We have to take direction for our lives. We are responsible to make sure we are the people who grow according to God's will. Building up in the body of Christ unto being mature, as Paul called it in Ephesians chapter 4, or being perfected in the faith, comes through our doing such things as worshiping God, striving to live for Him, putting into practice what He would have us do, active work, and constant effort that we put forth to benefit ourselves spiritually, as we pointed out. We reach maturity when we attain the qualities of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's our goal. We want to be like Christ. We want others to see Christ living in us, and they can. Not only would they hear about Christ from the words of our mouths, but they would be able to see our actions that we do, how we respond to things, and know that we are striving to be like Jesus Christ. I've tried to think a lot about this subject and to really kind of get my arms around it so I could feel like I really grasp what it is that Christ is trying to tell us to do and what the New Testament encourages us to do. And I keep going back to the life of Christ and thinking that Jesus reached a point in His earthly life where He began His public ministry. Something had to prepare Him for that. He had to grow to that extent. He had to be familiar with the law. His parents had to diligently teach him to look into the law of God and to learn it. And he had to put forth the effort to do that. But whenever he reached the point that was right in time for him as a young man to begin to preach publicly, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the same message that John had been preaching, he had to be mature enough to do that in such a way, begin his ministry in such a way, possess characteristics that in such a way he could serve God and serve man without being defeated and without giving up, without becoming discouraged and giving up, not defeated by Satan and not defeated by man. And so I try to think in those terms. Could I be a servant of God who could suffer for the sake of righteousness? I'm not asking myself if I can be a servant who suffers for some misdeed that I do, for some crime that I do, or for some wrongdoing that I do. Could I be a servant that would gladly suffer for what I say that God wants me to say? Or what I do to be like Christ that God wants me to do? Could I suffer for that? Could I do God's will and endure suffering as a result of that? Could I do what I should do to glorify God and endure suffering? Could I be able to teach someone the gospel and absorb the discomfort that will come as a result of that? Opposition by other people. Opposition from a person's family members that I happen to be studying with? Can I oppose evil that others have fallen into and speak evil against that evil to people who would promote and encourage that evil in people? Can I do that? Am I strong enough to do that? Can I do that effectively without cowering to pressure to just give up and go away? Don't speak out like that anymore. like Peter and John were commanded by the religious council in the book of Acts. Can I be the salt of the earth? Can I maintain my saltiness? Can I be of such saltiness that it would have a detrimental effect to the corruption that is around us in the world? Or will the corruption that is around me in the world rub off on me and make me lose my saltiness? Those are some pretty deep thoughts as far as when you meditate on those things, don't you think? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13, when we are reviled, we bless. Can I do that? When we are persecuted, we endure. Can I do that? When we're slandered, we try to conciliate. Can I do that? When we have become as the scum of the earth, nobody in the world is going to appreciate us for living righteous lives. Is that okay with us? It is if we're mature. We can if we're mature. All the more reason for us to press toward that maturity. A mature person looks for glory in the very last place that men would seek it. Mature as a Christian, I'm talking about. That Christian looks for glory in the very last place that men seek it. And that's in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, that's Paul's point in the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. I glory in the cross. I'm not here to preach the philosophies of men and to preach it in a way that is wise, so that I'll be considered a wise man on this earth. I'm here to preach what men refer to as foolishness, the foolishness of the cross. But that's where the great power of God is and the blessing of God is. We talked about characteristics having the ability to tolerate injustice without wanting to get even. We talked about the need for patience and being spiritually mature. And patience is very much akin to perseverance. Maturity is perseverance. Sweating out a project in the face of heavy opposition. And sweating it out and overcoming discouraging setbacks that will come your way. Satan's going to be out there trying to defeat you in every good thing that you do. Do you know that? Do you realize that? And are you willing to fight against Satan and overcome those discouraging setbacks? Surely it takes a mature Christian to have this kind of steady persistence. The steady persistence that's needed to live a faithful life, faithful to Jesus, overcoming the obstacles that come along. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said in Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Satan wants us to get tired. Just get tired of doing good, the same old monotonous thing. You know, any way he can trip us up and get us to think that those things are not important. And to grow tired and weary, that's what he wants us to do. But the mature Christian is one who keeps on keeping on. He's the one who is persistent. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, about the victory that Christians have. We need to remind each other of this very often. We're victorious people because we're on the side of the winner, and that's Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Very encouraging words for those who wish to be spiritually mature. Another characteristic of the spiritually mature is the ability to find contentment. You know, several times Paul said, I'm content. I strive for contentment. I encourage you to be content. You may be born in poor circumstances in this life. Learn to be content. Learn to be happy. Learn to be not unsettled about everything, but contentment without complaint whenever trials come your way. There are a great number of people in this world who are born into a situation of poverty. It's hard to live that way, especially from the background that you and I have, being raised in an affluent society. It's difficult for us sometimes to understand what a life of poverty would be about. and to understand that in a way through experience. We don't experience that. That is a great trial for a lot of people. You and I have other trials which we are to face. But maturity, spiritual maturity, is having the ability to face those unpleasant situations, situations that are very frustrating, situations that are not at all comfortable, and situations that can defeat us without collapse and without complaint or attempting to find someone to blame. You and I, as mature Christians, know, as we study the life of Jesus and look at the trials that he had to endure, you and I have to endure trials, and we have to pick ourselves up when we fall. We have to pick ourselves up when others knock us down, and we have to keep on keeping on and keep on trying. This is exactly what Paul did. And Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 12, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. You know, that sounds like a runner, doesn't it? Who's not going to give up. The hurdle runner, okay, he didn't make it fully over the first hurdle without touching it. And he's slowed down a little bit, but he keeps on running. You know, that's the picture I get of Paul when he says, press on, so that I may lay hold for that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the guy who nudges that hurdle as he jumps over it while he's running the race, he doesn't stop and go back and try to stand it back up. He keeps on running. You know, and he doesn't think about, oh, I missed that one. I'm going to lose. It's terrible. You know, he wants to keep that positive mental focus, and he keeps on running the race. He just keeps on. He may hit some other hurdles. He may not. But he keeps on racing. And that's the picture that Paul presents. At least what I like to compare it to, because I can see that and appreciate that picture. When discomfort and defeat come our way, we must deal with them in an uncomplaining manner. And, of course, the mature Christian is one who knows by experience the trials of life and how he's going to make it through. He's going to make it through by striving to be content. Philippians 4, beginning verse 11, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. That's what Paul said. Notice it's something to be learned. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. And of course, his reference there is to Jesus Christ. This was Paul's attitude. Paul was one we ought to appreciate very much because he was a mature Christian. Humility is another aspect, and we won't spend a whole lot of time on this point because we've talked a lot about humility lately. It's being big enough to say I was wrong in situations where I really am wrong. And when you are right, the mature person is not going to go around with this the attitude or telling someone else, see, I told you so. Told you so. I was right. I told you so. You know, it's big enough not to do that either. Jesus taught humility so many different times and in more than one parable. But in Luke 14, verses 7 through 11, about the invited guests picking out seats of honor at the dining table, if you recline at the last place, you will retain your honor when you're asked to move up to a higher place. In that parable in Luke 14, and at the conclusion of that parable, Jesus gives the point of talking about the whole thing in Luke 14, verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus taught humility. He exemplified humility in his life. James taught humility in James 4, and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know, it's good and joyous to be exalted at times, but let the Lord do it. And let us maintain our humble attitude. The the mature person follows what Peter recommends in 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Another characteristic of the spiritually mature is a commitment that's based on conviction. What are we committed to and why? As Christians, you and I are committed to the words of our Lord. We're committed to his teaching. We're not just committed to say amen when somebody makes the point, this is the teaching that ought to be the case here. Yes, yes it is. Yes, we believe that. But it's taking that commitment and owning it for ourselves. We're committed to the same things that the Lord is committed to, and we have a conviction that is developed and based upon a study of the Word of God. Our conviction, what we believe, what we'll stand up and say, I believe this. Even in the face of opposition, what we will stand up and say, I believe this, I will defend this. You know, that's book, chapter, and verse for the Christian, isn't it? It's the teaching of Christ in the new pages of the New Testament. And being spiritually mature has to do with this commitment and this conviction that we develop over time as we grow in Christ. And it gives us the ability to evaluate the situations of life. So sad that it is, brethren and friends, that there are many that when a person teaches something that Jesus Christ taught, they will say, amen, I believe that. But in their personal lives, they'll not take that teaching and make that part of themselves and own it. You and I might say, apply that. We pray for the strength to apply God's will to our lives so many times. It's important for us to do that. The spiritually mature do. And the benefit that it gives them is the situations of life that happen in the lives of other people and come to bear on us in our own lives can be dealt with in a way that Jesus would deal with it if we become that type of person. If we cultivate this ability to evaluate a situation and see the good in it or see the evil in it, see the good in it and why we ought to do it, see the evil in it and why we should not do it. Because the Bible is not just a dictionary that gives us a definition of every possible evil thought and action that men do and all of its synonyms that it could be called and will be called in the history of mankind. The Bible doesn't do that. But the Bible gives us enough about specific things and general things that you and I can get a comfortable and effective knowledge of Jesus Christ and his lifestyle so that we can adopt that lifestyle, own that lifestyle for ourselves, and evaluate whatever situation comes our way in life. And having evaluated that situation correctly, seeing the good in it or seeing the evil in it, we can make a decision about should we be involved in it or not? And we, through our conviction, will be able to stick with it. Immature people spend their lives exploring possibilities, changing their minds about things, and in the final analysis, doing nothing to stand for Jesus and his will. The mature Christian has made the commitment to live for the Lord, and he has conviction enough to stick with it. Yes, we must be willing to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude 3. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you about to account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We must be decisive if we are to be full-grown Christians. We need to decide things, what is right and what is wrong, and always do the right, striving to be stable in all of our ways. And it has to do with so many areas of what it is to be a Christian. This morning we were talking about the unity of the faith. Now that's what we need to work for. And that's what we need to possess. And that's what we need to never let go. We can't do that if we are infants spiritually and we stay there and stagnate, we'll end up drifting away from the Lord. We have to continue our growth, growing toward maturity, and latch hold of that unity of the faith and maintain it. It takes effort to do that in Ephesians 4:13. Knowledge of the Son of God. You know, we need to possess that ourselves. We need to know what Jesus wants us to know. We need to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. We need to be able to speak the truth in love to other people. That means not that we share our opinions with them so much, but we share the Word of God with them. We have them open their Bibles. And we say, here, look at this passage in your Bible. It will answer your question. And we need to direct them to the proper source. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. With an ability to teach others, that's characteristic of spiritual maturity, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Growing up into Christ, as Paul talked about in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. In faith, asking God for wisdom, as James said, you want wisdom in your life? You know, ask of God. He'll give it to you liberally in James 1, 5, and 6. The ability to discern between good and evil, which we mentioned. That's important for us, Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Recognizing the difference between what God says about a matter and what men say about a matter. If we listen to men outside of what God has said about what we can do and what we can't do, in our personal service for God, in our worship service, or anything we do in the name of Christ, then we leave Christ because Christ said, listen to me. Follow my words because my words were given to me by the Father in heaven. He has the right way, the true way. Valuing heavenly treasures more than earthly treasures in Matthew 6 and verse 20. Taking all measures, even drastic measures, to defeat sin in my life. Jesus talked about if your hand offends you, cut it off. And he wasn't advocating mutilation of the physical body, but he uses that to show the drastic methods that you and I should take in our lives to cut sin out of our lives. And sometimes it is very drastic. When people allow sin to become so intertwined in their character and in their behavior, it's difficult to get rid of. Many times, so many times it is. There are a lot of people in this country that work with people who have various kinds of addictions, and addictions can be to anything, not only drugs, not only illegal drugs, prescription drugs obtained through a doctor, addictions to practices in life, pornography, or whatever it is, any number of things. And there are people that work with people like that, and they write about, and they will testify how difficult it is because the lifestyle and the belief and the practice has become so intertwined with their character. They struggle so difficult, through such difficulty, to free themselves from that it takes a tremendous amount of effort to do that. And not everyone is able to overcome. We must have a commitment about things. We must develop a conviction of things, but remember that it has to do with the Word of God. Dependability is another characteristic of the mature. It means being dependable, and that means keeping our word to other people. It means coming through in a crisis. To be a dependable person is a person that other people can trust. You're trustworthy. You're reliable. There are too many professed Christians in our community, in our world, who are not trustworthy and reliable. That's something that ought not to be. We need to be reliable, and we need to keep our word, and we need to honor our commitments. But not only that, we need to loathe every appearance of any deceit in our lives. We need to be people that are above board all the time. James wrote in James 5 and verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or any such, any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment." Compare that with what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 33 through 37. And he's teaching us to be honorable people, people of our word. When we say yes, that's what it is. You know, as working in the construction industry at one point in my life, and having dealings with other contractors and other construction people, more times than not, you would find a situation where you're talking to someone who does a particular job that you need done over on the job you're working on. And you find out so many of these people will tell you what you want to hear with absolutely no intention whatsoever of following through with it. "I'll be there first thing in the morning." So you're there the next morning and they never show up. You know, that happens too many times. And you wonder, how in the world do these people stay in business, treating their customers that way and telling other people this kind of thing? I know that you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because it just happens too much in our society. People say things without really thinking about it, and sometimes say things and make commitments that they know that they have no intention. It's just saying something to you at the moment to let the moment dissipate so you can go on about your business. Now, Christians are not to be that way. Now, if we're doing something for somebody and we say, "I will be there first thing in the morning," we need to be there first thing in the morning. And of course that eliminates, well, you know, I was involved in an automobile crash on the way there. You know, everybody will be understanding of that situation. But just to tell somebody something to blow them off is a bad, bad thing. Let us be spiritually mature and be dependable about what we say. And having a disposition of peace. You may think, well, what does that have to do with being mature? And I think that it does. Being mature spiritually, we will develop our own personal techniques of living a life, or maybe we should say, develop the art of living in peace. To be able to put our heads on the pillow at night and sleep the peaceful sleep of the righteous. Because we are at peace with God, and as far as we know, we've done everything within our ability to be at peace with all men. And that is a peace that passes all understanding. It is a peace that will keep us from worrying about things that we have no control over. It is a peace that will give us a confidence that our Lord's going to take care of our needs because we serve Him. Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Paul even said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 6 and 7. That's an important passage for the spiritually mature. To be able to know the peace of God because we don't worry about things that are outside of our control, and we pray to God and we are thankful to God and He's going to give us what we need and we're confident of that. That's a wonderful peace. a wonderful peace. In Matthew 19, 16 through 26, which is the story that Bible students are familiar with, the rich young ruler. Notice that this rich young ruler asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" What good thing do I need to do to get from where I am right now to winning the prize at the end? That's what he's asking. How do I win the prize? How do I come in first? How do I get the gold medal in the Olympics of spiritual life? How do I do that? He's asking the right person, isn't he? He's asking our Lord. And he says, "All these things I have kept. You know, I've done what the law requires." And he had. He was very diligent in that. But notice, "All these things I have kept." He didn't stop there. He said, "What am I still lacking?" This person was sensitive enough to his spiritual quest for that prize out there at the end. That he wants to know, is there something that I'm lacking? And if so, what is it? Man, what a great attitude that is. You know? What am I lacking? Very rarely do we ever hear anyone ask the question, "What am I lacking?" We don't want anyone to associate any kind of lack or need with who we are and what we are, do we? We don't want someone to think that we lack something. This man, he's open, honest, above board about it. He's talking to the right person, the one who knows the hearts of all men. What am I still lacking? Many morally good and religious people do not really desire to be sufficient and complete in Christ. Becoming complete involves recognizing that we're not and needing to know what it is that we lack to get there so we can work on it. Too many prefer to make a prejudicial defense of who they are and what they are at the present time instead of seeking to know what is it I lack? Where am I falling short? Notice that Jesus says to him, "Now, if you wish to be complete." Now think about those words. If this is really your desire, you want to be complete. You want to be perfect. You want to be the one that you're guaranteed to possess that prize. Guaranteed to win the gold medal in the Olympics of spiritual life. If you wish this, you know, why would he ask if he didn't want to know? If it's really what you want, we can see that achieving completeness involves our willingness to do so. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? Thomas Edison said this, "Many of life's failures are experienced by people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." That's a pretty good quote from a man who tried and tried and tried and tried and then tried some more and then kept on trying and refused to give up until he invented a material that could be used in a vacuum, in a glass bulb, that when you run electricity through it, it'd light up a room. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, it is hard." We must see this perfecting process as something really to be sought out with patience. It's not easy. It requires patience. Achieving maturity in the faith is a gradual thing. And failure to realize this has discouraged so many people, some from even making the effort. But you know, in the final analysis, what he says, "But with God, all things are possible." And that's what you and I grab onto, the tail end of what this conversation is all about, what this exchange with this rich young ruler is about, who struggled with giving up his wealth. It was close to his heart. But he wanted to know what he lacked, and Jesus told him, And he goes away thinking about the great difficulty of this and the near impossibility of making it a reality in his life. But Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. We may view ourselves as people that will never reach spiritual maturity. That's an incorrect way to view ourselves. Because with God, all things are possible. We can be spiritually mature. We can be the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be. We can be people that the Lord will look upon us and say, blessed are you. Blessed are you, faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Let me give you the prize. Let me award you with the winning trophy. You've done your best. Boy, that's what I want to hear. What about you? You're in our assembly tonight, and we can help you in a spiritual way. We'd be delighted to do that. We'll help you become a Christian tonight if you, as a believer, willing to repent of sins and confess Christ before men, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We can help you with that. Raised out of a watery grave to walk in newness of life as a Christian. To get on this journey of life to grow spiritually, to spiritual maturity. Be ready to meet the Lord in judgment. That'd be a great thing. If we can help you with that tonight, we'd be delighted to do so. If we can't, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.